They include Stacy Monroe and Kara Faravanti. The members of the commission here today are myself, Gwen Millais, the chair, Commissioner Ben Kaiser, Commissioner Jeff Simpson, and Commissioner Jane Hansen. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction or remodeling of projects within designated design zones. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record and it is subject to rebuttal. For type 3 reviews, the following procedure is required. 1. Public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. The staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. 2. Prior to the close of this hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the commission will either grant a continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. 3. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. 4. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damage in a circuit court under Oregon Revised Statute 197.796. The commission's decision on this case is final and must appeal to City Council within 14 days of the decision. If the decision is not appealed, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions will be provided with a notice of the commission's action. This hearing is recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and mailing address before speaking. The following procedures will be used for each case. We have a lot of things tucked into this sleeve here. I'm going to find the right ones for us. Just a sec. Here we go. Type 3. 1. Staff will show slides of the site and surrounding area and present a report which will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, findings, and a recommendation on the request, and that's a 10-minute presentation. 2. Applicant will present the report. It's a 20-minute maximum, and I do mean maximum. If we've heard it already, you probably don't need to go over it again. 3. Public testimony will be received in favor of the proposal. It's a 3-minute time limit. 4. Public testimony will be received in opposition to the proposal. 3-minute time limit. 5. The applicant will then be given an opportunity to rebut the testimony of the opponents. 6. Public testimony will be closed. 7. If any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence. The record will be held open an additional 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. 8. After the record is closed to all other parties, the applicant will have additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. 9. After the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote on any motion, the motion will fail. 10. If the commission's decision amends or overturns the Bureau of Development Services staff report, the adoption of new and revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. So before we launch into our first case, we have item number one, which is items of interest to the commissioners. And I have one. As my fellow commissioners know, today is Commissioner Jane Hansen's last day on the Design Commission. And we wanted to give her an appropriate send-off before you go. We have a little something that's being passed around for you to thank you for your years of service here on the commission. Jane is a very talented landscape architect, well-recognized in our community. She has been serving Greater Portland in that capacity for 20 years as a landscape architect, beautifying projects here in the city and beyond. She's been through 100 design review hearings so far, which is an amazing number, I know. And she is also the recipient of several ASLA awards, including for the Hotel Madera, which is a courtyard to which this commission very much likes to repair for drinks after special hearings. So we've appreciated that space ourselves a number of times. So Jane, thank you very much for your service. And I will, maybe for better or for worse, think about you, especially when I walk by those planters. There was a hearing in particular I remember. It was Catherine Schultz and Jane and I were the last commissioner standing one night when the city came in and had a briefing on the infamous planters on the Yamhill Morrison Max corridor, and we really laid into the city, and so I think of you fondly when I walked by once. So anyhow, thank you very much for your service, Jane. And any other commissioners want to chime in?
So seeing you on the other side.
Exactly. Right, we'll be preparing the hot pokers. All right, great. Thank you. And I also wanted to make a note, you know, this has been a kind of crazy 24 hours for our commissioner at the city. So I wanted to make a point of saying that the Design Commission is a Commissioner Fritz in our thoughts, and we will do what we can to support her as she goes through whatever transition she decides to make. So our thoughts and prayers are with her and her staff and her family. So without further ado, I want to introduce our first case, LU14-1527-21DZM, the Riverscape Lot 1 Apartments. The applicant is Kurt Schultz of Sarah Architects. The address is the east side of Northwest Front Avenue at Northwest 15th Avenue, immediately northwest of the Fremont Bridge. And our planner today is Stacey Monroe.
Good afternoon. So I'm going to keep my presentation brief and let the applicant really walk through the details for you. And also I'm going to highlight a few things that I've handed out. So let's get started. Frozen, the movie. Thank you. Okay, so just a few housekeeping items. As you may recall, this project, Riverscape Lot 1 Apartments, came before the commission at its initial hearing on August 21st. Briefly, some of the comments provided at that hearing. The commission recognized this site as being challenging given its proximity to the bridge, as well as the numerous site constraints on the property. But in general, the comments were to reduce the amount of surface area devoted to vehicles and better integrate the surface area to remain, to improve the quality of the courtyard and strengthen the greenway connection, to improve the pedestrian connections through the site into the greenway, and to better differentiate the building space and provide more pedestrian scale details. So the documents for you today include revisions that have been very responsive. And there's two sets of documents. You were forwarded a set last Friday, and there is another set provided to you this afternoon that replaces a few of the sheets in the original document. So as a result of the revisions, staff has added an additional modification, which would be modification number 5, to reduce the drive aisle width for the surface parking. What else did I want to say? Staff also received a public comment after the last hearing, which was forwarded in your packets last week. And just briefly, what the comment states is there's concern with the two proposed modifications at the north end of the building and the property to the maximum building length and the setback from the northern access way. So that's provided in your packet last week for your review. So what I'm going to do is just briefly run through these and have the applicant actually show you on plans. But as we go through these, if you refer to Exhibit C14, which is the very top sheet of the set you received today, it's a site and landscape plan. And that plan really highlights all the items I'm going to walk through briefly. So the revisions include a reduction in the surface area, the vehicle surface area. The garage access and the ramping have been located on the western portion of the site. The access to the surface parking lot has also been shifted west. The surface loading spaces have been put in the basement. The asphalt in the surface parking has been replaced with paved. There's been more buffer and screening provided between the surface parking area and the south end of the east wing. The central courtyard As a result of the relocated garage access has been enlarged, and direct connections have been provided that lead to an east-west connection to the greenway. There are connections through the site. At the center of the site and the south end have also been improved. The northern walkway is now a straight line connection, and it only traverses the parking area at one spot. It also includes pavers, and it's been widened at the connection to the greenway. At the southern accessway, the ends or the nodes at each end have been rounded off, and the sign has been identified in the western end, identifying the greenway trail. Landscaping has been altered between the parking area and the southern accessway to include trees and low shrubs to provide a little bit more transparency in this kind of dark area under the bridge. The above ground equipment that is located along the northwest front frontage has been screened with some fencing and dense shrubbery. And the connection to the Greenway Trail to the south underneath the bridge has been widened to 16 feet. And lastly, the building has been modified, particularly at the base. Brick reveals with stacked mon accents have been added to all openings on all facades. Steel canopy on the frontage facade has been lengthened to encompass almost the entire ground floor. The ground floor windows have been enlarged, and the windows within the fiber cement board system have been recessed. And lastly, along the northwest facade at the ground level, 4 foot deep steel canopies have been added to the individual patios. So with these revisions, staff concludes that the approval criteria have been met, specifically the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines, the River District Design Guidelines, the Willamette Greenway Design Guidelines, and the modification approval criteria. There are two conditions of approval that have been added. They are specifically related to the interagency responses. One is for the eco roof to be certified by the Bureau of Environmental Services. The eco roof is being provided to get a bonus FAR of 0.8 to 1. So the eco roof needs to be certified by BES before the building permit. And because the garage entry has been relocated to the western end closer to the signalized intersection, PBOT has requested that the proposed Ritech door, coiling door, which you've been provided a detail of, be used in order to ensure that queuing doesn't impact or spill out into the signalized intersection on front. Staff also recommends approval of the 5 modifications to reduce the width of the parking space, the drive aisle, and the bike parking spaces, to exceed the 200-foot building wall length, and to reduce the 12-foot setback along the northwest pedestrian accessway. And with that, I'm available for questions.
Are there questions of Stacy? Okay, great. And Kurt, go ahead. And while you're setting up, if there are people who are interested in testifying on this project or any subsequent project, there are forms in the back of the room that look like this. You can fill them out, give them to Amy, our clerk, and she will hand them to me. And please indicate on the form which case you're interested in speaking with us about.
All right, thank you. I'm Kurt Schultz with Sarah Architects, 338 Northwest 5th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97209. I'm going to try to be brief in the presentation and just describe the changes that we made from the first hearing on the 21st. Again, this is a tough site with a lot of restrictions, and you guys had some really good advice about how to change the vehicular circulation in the courtyard that we appreciated. We think it made the project a lot better, and we've tried to incorporate all of the changes you requested. Thanks for letting us be here today. So I'm just going to quickly pass through these slides and get right to the changes. So again, on this slide of this elongated site plan, we have the river now, which I'm going to call the east side, Front Avenue, the west side. The Fremont Bridge will be to the south, the existing Greenway connection to the north. So the big change that we made is prior, this is the only place along Front that PBOT would approve us to have a connection into the site. Before we had a drive that continued all the way, and we actually ramped down at this location to create a deep stacking distance, but that created a lot of pedestrian and vehicular conflicts, particularly moving from the courtyard to the Greenway Trail. So it was suggested by all of you to actually move the ramp down to the basement as close to Front as we could. So we did that. We actually moved the vehicular ramp to inside the building. So you come off of Front Avenue, make a left turn, and then drive down into the below-grade parking garage, which is under the entire site. Or you turn right as quickly as we possibly can to get past the CenturyLink substation that is currently existing in this location to get into the surface parking lot. What that subtle move allowed us to do was first create a new pedestrian connection all the way across the site from Front Avenue to the Greenway, which is this concrete paver trail. So there's only one pedestrian vehicular conflict at this location only. It also allowed us to extend and expand almost by a third the size of the landscaping and the courtyard itself that now connects to this trail and allows connection from the courtyard out to the site itself. To make this throat as wide as we possibly can, we worked with Stacy to actually have a modification to the drive aisle in the surface parking lot to minimize the amount of surface parking and make this as wide as we possibly can. So this path is about 11 feet off of Front and across the courtyard. Then we transition down to an 8-foot wide path with landscaping up against the building and landscaping between the path and the parking lot. So it's an 8-foot connection before we actually hit the Greenway Trail. So that allowed us again to enlarge the courtyard. We have made some improvements to the south walkway. We also kind of rounded off the corners as you suggested. We have enlarged some of the private patios that were along the riverfront here and created some small paths that lead from those enlarged terraces down to the Greenway Trail itself. We removed all the loading that was currently in this location, moved it down into the basement. Let's see, near the parking lot. So the main things that were most of the challenges to make all this to work has really been with working all this through with PBOT. They were concerned about stacking distances and so on, so we hired Kittleson to do some stacking analysis for us, so we actually could have a very fast-acting garage door at this location, which is a coiling door that will go up and down very quickly, whereas a swing gate type of door tends to be quite slow. And so they finally approved that yesterday, so actually we're just in the nick of time. This is the landscape plan that was modified. So again, with this, what the landscape plan shows is the addition of more landscaping and more lushness in the courtyard extending to this wide new connection that didn't exist prior in the plan. So really there's three connections from Front Avenue to the Greenway, two of them very public and one of them kind of a combination of public and private. Steve Shapiro, our landscape architect, also redesigned all the landscaping in the parking lot. This was more of a kind of tall columnar, I can't remember if they were pines or cypresses last time.
It was hickory. Hedging.
To more of a high deciduous tree with a lower planting, so to get rid of kind of the tunnel effect on that Southern Greenway crossing. Again, the landscape plan that I can come back and have Steve to come back and answer any more questions for you on that. So in terms of the lighting, the other thing that we did is we added bollard lights along this Southern Greenway connection that are similar but shorter to the bollards that are on the Greenway Trail itself. We're doing 12-foot tall poles on the main Greenway and just 8-foot shorter poles along the Southern connection here. We've also shown the photometrics of our parking lot lighting to show that there will be sufficient lighting on the this connection that is crossing the site from east to west. This is the enlarged courtyard plan that shows the pavers essentially everywhere. These areas are new landscape areas that Steve has created that create kind of a buffer between that trail and the more private parts of the courtyard with the water feature in the center. This is a section that Steve created. This is a section through the fountain itself. All the landscaping in this courtyard is on top of structured parking, so we have a 12-foot, concrete slab. So all of our walls and landscaping are actually raised, and they're actually quite deep, so we can have really extensive planting and some trees in that courtyard. The water feature itself, it has a weir in the center, a high pool and a lower pool with a steel edging, so the water spills over the higher pool to the lower pool. It's not a stormwater treatment. This is a kind of a continuously filtered pool. This is a section through the landscaping as we're getting closer to that new east-west connection to show the deeper planting beds and some of the trees that we have, so we can have very extensive landscaping on top of that parking deck. These are some 3D images that Steve created to show the parking lot with its landscaping and the new trail connection, the increased size of the courtyard with its existing plantings, and then finally the increased size of the terraces on the facing the river with the new paths leading out to the Greenway. There was also some questions, and we've been working with Portland Parks and Rec and Stacy on the Greenway Trail connection between the Willamette River and the property that's outside the property on the Fremont Bridge. So this is the Fremont Bridge abutment, and this is the Greenway Trail to the southern part of our site. So what we've worked out with Portland Parks and Rec is we're going to be actually building a new concrete trail, which you see in the shaded hatch here, with some curves to it to allow bikes to make the connection. We're setting all this flush with the concrete that is actually the top of the footing at the abutment. So the actual width of the trail here is about 15 feet. It's 20 along the river. But this is actually all open for pedestrians and bikes to cross. We'll be building a fence to create a minimum 8-foot height clearance at the abutment, which you see here in the section. So here's the seawall. This is the new concrete we're pouring. This is the existing footing under the abutment. And then this is the new fence that we'll be putting in along the abutment to get that 8-foot clearance maintained, so bikers aren't clipping the top of their head as they're trying to cut that corner, but also trying to make that as absolutely wide a connection as we possibly can. Now, this is not on the owner's property. This is on the adjacent property. So Portland Parks and Rec is working to get an easement with the other property owner in order to do all this work. This is the ground floor plan that shows the new parking garage ramp. So we have about 25 feet of throat before we turn and come down into the new building. We're maintaining retail all along that edge, along Front Avenue, and again, that allowed us to extend the courtyard all the way to the new pathway. We have also added new canopies over the stoops that faced to the north side of the site to the existing Greenway Trail, and enlarged the windows and the canopy along Front Avenue as well. On the building exterior, what we've done primarily is work to differentiate the base of the building more, make the window openings larger, make the canopies larger, So what we've done is we've extended the canopy almost to the full width of the Front Avenue frontage. It's got a good 12 feet of clear over the sidewalk. We're treating it almost kind of like some of the long, linear, more industrial warehouse canopies you see on Northwest 13th Avenue. We widened and enlarged the windows that were on the ground floor and also added some additional brick detailing at the base of the brick, and then have created a horizontal kind of steel band that also runs around the base of the building to differentiate the base. This is the north side of the building where, again, we have that same base differentiation around all four sides of the building, and then added the steel canopies over all the existing steel stoops, or the existing stoops for the residential units facing the Greenway Trail for weather protection. South elevation facing the courtyard, you can see the additional brick reveals and stack bond detailing. This is the fast-acting coiling door that we work with PBOT to approve coming into our new ramp, dropping down into our garage. And then this blow-up shows you a little bit more of the detailing that we're doing at the base of the building with the new continuous canopy, the additional brick reveals and stack bond accents adjacent to the new enlarged window openings, and then the metal projection band that continues around to differentiate the base of the building. This is a 3D view of the enlarged canopy that runs along Front Avenue. That's actually quite high. This is all facing south, but it'll still allow good light to come into all those windows. And then we created these new stack bond accents with reveals on all the openings on the ground floor to create more kind of visual interest and differentiation to the base of the building, and more or less relief and sidewalk detail for the pedestrian. And then finally, the steel canopies that we added on the north side of the building over the stoops. So this kind of shows you overall the main changes that we made. Again, the lion's share of the changes were all in this part of the building, parking lot, new trail connection, enlarged, lusher courtyard, and then new vehicular entry closer to Front Avenue to allow all this to work together in unity. We think it's a much better design, much better experience, and so we think that was a great idea. So we're happy with how it turned out. And with that, I'll be happy to answer questions.
Yep. Sure.
Mr. Shapiro.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm Steve Shapiro with Shapiro Digley Landscape Architecture.
Could you walk us through the
landscape? Sure. Within the courtyard, there is going to be a series of columnar oak trees. And the intent there is to provide a visual buffer and some sound relief from the adjacent bridge. As pedestrians walk through there, as Kurt described, long linear water feature that's on two different levels. And the upper level will have a stainless steel weir adhere to it and will spill down to the lower pool. The center of the courtyard is a stormwater facility, and the plantings all around it and all through here are primarily native to go along with the Greenway concept that has been established all back through here. There is a evergreen hedge that extends all the way down this walkway to screen residents and pedestrians from the parking lot. And as described earlier, there are This is a stormwater swale all along here, and there are two different kinds of low plantings in there, and ash trees, which have a light canopy to help separate the parking lot from the pedestrian scale. The parking lot has been screened from the greenway by some small evergreen trees and a cedar in the center there. And as I said before, these are all native plantings along here in swoops. Any other questions? This connection right through here?
I mean, I see it as almost redundant, unnecessary when you have two major corridors going south and you compromise or sacrifice landscaping for hardscaping. And I'm just curious what decision points you consider.
Were you at the first hearing, Jeff? I can't remember. I thought we actually heard a request for that pathway connection.
So here's where we ended up, as I recall. You guys would know better. But I think the one towards the bottom of the screen, I forget, is that south?
Yes.
Is required. Got to do it. Can't not do it. Originally, there was sort of like no way out of the parking lot on the project side. And so we talked about extending that walk so that there was a clear place to go once you parked your car, where you could walk safely to the greenway or to the building or whatever. And I agree, it's redundant. But they had to put the second one in. They couldn't make the one in between the building and the parking lot really great, so like really wide, and make that the grand walk. So
one of the guidelines is strive for urban design excellence.
Yeah. No, I know. The site.
Yeah, back in the design advice request, you guys asked, can we actually move this path closer to the building and separate
and combine them?
Right. And
that makes sense.
And that and we got a no from ODOT, which controls the this area. So we were forced to continue with this 20-foot wide concrete pathway in that location because of all the ODOT requirements and the earlier conditions of approval.
So was that our comment was, can we co-join the two together and put it in between?
Wanted one really good path.
So the solution afterwards that you come up with is to add a third, which I don't think necessarily was in context with what we had suggested we wanted.
I was speaking for myself. I think that is a comment that I made, because I knew just from previously, I guess I was on another team back when this project was going out, and I knew that the south one could move or it could be joined together with another one. But if there isn't that middle path, there's no way to get from the courtyard out to the greenway unless you go through the parking lot. That is from my point of view. I thought the third one was, there was still an advantage to having the third one. But I mean, I didn't measure it.
I guess given the constraints of not moving along to the south.
Right, exactly. That was the problem. So this was, my comment. The last one, they did have a trail that started here, but didn't join here. And you couldn't get across this, and you were crossing vehicle traffic to get into the courtyard. So they cleaned it up by moving. So anyway.
And Jeff, there are several or numerous guidelines that speak to connecting the court or the outdoor spaces to the greenway, connecting having pedestrian. There's requirements in the code to provide pedestrian connections from the interior of the site to the abutting rights of way or trails. So there are other reasons, I think, why that middle one was retained.
I think that could still be achieved, but there's that connection that goes all the way through the front. You know, and there's
I could see.
It's not necessary. It's typically in front.
Okay, well, moving on. I also am curious about the choice. Now, I understand the noise suppression, the tall columnar trees in the courtyard, but I just looked at the rendering and it struck me as, okay, you're already in the shade window of this bridge to the south, and now we're going to add these super densely placed columnar canopy trees in the courtyard. It's going to be 7 months of the year where that thing is dark and drippy.
Well, the courtyard is facing south.
That bridge is above you, casting a shadow onto that courtyard.
Yeah, we've actually studied the shadow analysis. It's funny that it actually ends about here during at least the summer months, but you're right, it's going to be longer in the winter months.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is during when the sun's low on the horizon, that 6-7 months of the year, that space is shaded by the bridge.
Well, let's see. And the idea was to create an environment, you know, when you came in that was separated it from the bridge and
yeah.
All the turmoil of NATO Parkway.
I can understand the visual separation. I've never understood plants to be actual sound buffers. Do they do anything for sound? I think that when you can't see it, it seems like you can hear less, but it doesn't. I mean, what's your experience, Stephen?
Well, psychologically, you're correct. It does help.
Right.
And it's unproven as to
how. With a decibel meter, it does not make a difference, yeah.
But it seems like if you cannot see a source of noise, it somehow seems quieter.
Uh-huh.
You feel less exposed.
Well, I understand that. Uh-huh. Yeah, I get it.
How big are the terraces on the river-facing side?
You know, right now, I think they're about 8 by 12.
That's pretty big. I was just thinking, I don't know.
They were smaller before. They were like 5 by 12, and everyone thought they seemed too puny.
Yeah.
And said, well, why not make them something a little bit more?
Yeah, it seems like there's enough space that you could get a terrace. I mean, it seems like you're right on the verge of having a terrace that's big enough to get a table out, so somebody wanted to have dinner outside,
right,
and have friends over, and there's enough room to do that. I was even wondering, you know, if some of them could push out a little bit more, like would there be a reason that, you know, for the, you know, potential owner, there might be certain people that would like a bigger space rather than a smaller space. Like, do they all need to be the exact same size?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe some of them have a larger outdoor, kind of outdoor dining space that somebody would be interested in.
Are these for sale units or for rent?
Rental. Or rental units.
Yeah.
Yeah,
been getting larger. Encouraging you guys to reach out a little bit again. They were pretty Spartan to begin with.
It just seems to me that there's a lot of green space on that side, and I think it's making a really nice buffer for the greenway there. I was just wondering if there could be a bit more of a dual use, and certain residents could be able to be in the middle of that space somehow. Like, and maybe some of the terraces were kind of pushed out into the middle of the space. And I don't know, you may not think that's a good idea. When I saw that was just kind of my initial thought, that there's a lot of space there. There might be a way to, kind of move kind of the user group back and forth a little bit so they aren't right up against each other. If people were having dinner side by side, one was pushed out a little bit further, there'd be a little bit more
privacy.
I think we're trying to maintain kind of a similar distance than there is with the townhouses up to the north of how much kind of greenway buffer. So that's probably the only reason why we didn't push any closer with the terraces.
Other questions? So good.
So two things. The stair that drives the drive out and that jog. Is that the parking plan below, or is that stair driving that?
It's both. It's the drive aisle and, essentially the way the parking is laid out, and I could actually even go to a parking plan if you want to see it. I keep going. I'll bump into one.
anymore. Up past it. There we go. To get to the drive aisle and actually where our core was and all the kind of core elements required that slight bend in the ramp as opposed to a straight down. I suppose we could try to make this straight down, but it's more of an internal, manipulation, I suppose. Are you looking to get more depth in the retail?
Yeah,
or?
It's kind of a straight retail space.
Yeah. The retail is about 28 feet at its widest and then narrowed down to about 21 or so at its narrowest.
Because I was thinking it looks like the stair could rotate, but it doesn't have that big of an impact on the parking lot.
Right.
Yeah, there's floors above, it looks like the stair could rotate pretty easily, but that retail is a little deeper.
Yeah, I think that would be possible, sure.
Okay, other questions?
On the north side, the stoops, the one image you showed us is about four steps up, but that's a slope. Is there a slight slope to that? Or are they all about four steps?
No, they vary. So let me get to the plan. Well, even here you can see it.
Yeah.
So we're about 4 feet below the main level of the building at Front Avenue, and then it finally hits the greenway. So that existing kind of curvy trail actually slopes about 4 feet up. So our stoops, again, are about 4 feet on this side up to just, one or two steps as we get to the other end of the building closer to the greenway trail. And that's an existing condition so that what we tried to do is set the building main floor elevation so it actually matched the greenway and then got taller height elements along Front Avenue.
And then those doors are recessed back to the facade?
They're recessed a little bit. They're back about a foot. And we talked last time about whether we recess the doors and create more of a niche or do a canopy. We heard it was kind of an either or, and we elected to do the canopy to preserve the space and the units.
Gwen and I did a walk this morning with the NWDA, and one of the guys did an informal study. He went around, but I thought it was pretty interesting. It's like, if the stoop is up this high, the shades are open. If the stoop is down at about a foot and a half, the shades are half closed. And if the stoop is at the street, the shades are closed.
Yeah.
He has a sliding bar chart of kind of shades and height, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So this will be a good example. You can study this just
this right, in just this building, exactly. And luckily not on, this is the riverside.
But this
side,
is
right?
Different because it's
or
not, since it's not really side. On a sidewalk, there's actually a landscape buffer between the trail
right.
and the stoop. So this is going to be more private.
Yeah, it's pretty minimal. It doesn't really get down to like a few feet.
It depends. It's all
it
because
does.
Of the curve. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff's comments. I was too wondering why that courtyard was so dense. So are you guys not seeing it really as a hangout place? Because you don't see sitting in the grass amongst the trees and all that. It's kind of all elevated. So is that just kind of a walk?
There is no grass in there. It's all plant material.
Oh,
right. And we didn't see it as a hangout place given the noise factor. And the only area that might be is the paved area adjacent to the fountain, if the facility has a social function of some type.
Yeah, I mean, the scales are a little deceiving here. This is actually a pretty big space where the fountain is. This trail actually leads to the lower weir. We have the upper weir next to it. So this is probably a good, 40 feet wide by, 60 to 70 feet deep on this side. This is the deeper stormwater planter. And then there's some kind of private terraces on the side. But really, the main hangout space that we saw was really the space that's on the roof of that wing that steps down that overlooks the river. That's going to be all in the sun, looking at the river. That, at least for the residents of the building, we saw that as more of the hangout space. This is more kind of as a tranquil space and a space that's really lush that the residents can look down on. But may not necessarily be the hangout space. We didn't put any barbecues or anything like that in this courtyard.
How tall are those columnar bark oaks again?
planter, maybe 25 feet, and they're fairly narrow.
Okay, other questions? Okay, I do have one card here. Somebody, is it for this project, we think, yes? Okay, so let's see. I've got both a yes and no on want to make a statement, so I'll see. Bruce Fickett?
Yeah, I put yes and no down.
Okay, come on up. Come on up, ask the team to sit down, and we'll get you on the record here.
Yes and no down being, after seeing all this, I can make a comment.
Sure,
my only comment is,
okay.
I think, because I live close by there, okay, and I use it a lot, I think it's an attractive building, mm-hmm, and it's good use of the site.
Okay.
So.
Well, thanks for coming down to the hearing to
encourage
it out. Great. For the record, Bruce's address is 420 Northwest 11th in Portland, 97209. So, coming up, if there's anyone else who wants to testify, you're free to. There are forms in the back of the room. Otherwise, we'll move on. Okay. Any other questions bubbling up before we start talking about commentary? We have a complete staff report with some modifications. Anything else? Okay, great. Anyone want to start? Okay, go ahead.
Well, I think the building in general is going to be a really nice presence on the street, and I think it completes an area that really nicely that's just sort of a blank right now. And I think that the improvements that have been made are really great refinements, both to the building and to the landscape. I can see where Ben and Jeff were going with the comments about concerns about shade in the courtyard. And I think that my feeling is that the bosque of trees that's separating the parking from the courtyard makes a really great sort of fourth wall to the courtyard. That maybe within the courtyard itself, the other trees can be thought of as sort of stepping down to something else, just so that they aren't creating so much shade. In multi-trunk, trees, even if they were just like a multi-trunk something else, or they were just physically stepping down, a lighter, more lacy material, because I think that the columnar English oaks have a really kind of heavy, leathery leaf that tends to stay on them until early spring. They just don't fall away. So I think, that in the winter, that could just kind of create kind of a real heavy effect in there. And maybe something a little bit lighter in the middle might work better. But yeah, I won't hold up the design based on that, but just something to think about. And then on the greenway area, the idea of expanding some of those decks was just kind of one thought of mine, and I guess where that was really coming from was, since there is such a generous buffer there, is there a way to also make it usable to the residents, whether it's just a way that they can walk out and be in that green space with stepping stones, or there's just like something in there that allows them to go out in that space, and it's just not ornamental to the extent that there physically isn't a way to be in the space, because I think there's quite a lot of space allotted to green space on that side, and it would just be nice to be able to enjoy it in another way besides just being on your terrace deck. I really like having that third pathway in the middle. I think it's going to be very useful, and it's too bad that you got the no from ODOT, but I think having heard that, I think that that third walkway is an important connection to make. I think those are really all my comments.
Okay. Other comments from across the room there?
I too, I agree with Jane. I think all the improvements you made, Kurt and team, are great. And so I'm a fan of moving ahead with this project. If you think it's possible to swing that stair so that retail is actually a more usable retail, I think that would help the whole building at that elevation, at that facade on front. And I think Jane's point is great. If that bosque of trees were held at the south end and then let drop back down into the courtyard, so all those south-facing private stoops in there aren't in the shade, they could capture the sun again but still block the parking from their vision. I think that's a great idea that Jane had. I like the canopy. I like the brick accents that you did. Nice work on that. And the big move of changing the whole parking and entry exit is a great success. So thank you.
Great. Mr. Simpson.
Yeah, I appreciate the moves. I mean, Kurt, guys basically addressed everything we commented about, and the building's awesome. I like all the moves you made there. I just want to kind of stand on the comment you're hearing from now two of the other commissioners about the central courtyard space, and just something about the density and the heavy-handedness with the tree canopy in there. And I'm just concerned about those times during the year when the bridge shadows dominating that space 24/7. You know, there's nothing about the pathway that makes me want to hold the project up. I just think it's odd that, you know, obviously you got backed into a corner to have to do that. And I agree with Jane. It's probably better to have the connection than not have it at all, since you have to live with the one to the south. What else was I going to say?
Anything about the riverside? The usefulness of the patios, the decking, or anything like that?
Oh, I think it was Jane's comment about the connection of the patios to that open space as well. I agree with Jane on that comment. And I support all the modification requests. So.
Okay. So I fall in line with Commissioners Hansen and Simpson about the deck on the river. I just, you know, it's such a... We have so few places where people can connect with the river and enjoy the river and look at the river and be close to it, that the more you can make those decks useful, I think the better off we are. And I also had the same feelings about the density of the tree canopy going all the way through the courtyard, that somehow lightening it up a little bit as you got through would be fine. And that might be, you know, I'm not your landscape architect, and that's up to you guys, but it might be the deletion of a few trees just to, or it might be changing the type of tree, but just to find a way to lighten that up. Stacey, I guess, you know, you're hearing a couple of very minor, what I consider very minor potential changes. Do you want us to try to condition them, or do you feel like they can be taken as friendly amendments? What's your thought on that? Condition is easiest, of course.
And just so you know, the reason why we've been probably more timid about the terraces or the patios is since they're not in the first 25-foot greenway setback, which is from the seawall to roughly this line, you can't have anything that's not river dependent. But this is still in the second 25-foot greenway setback, where the rules are a little fuzzier, that like, yeah, you can do things that aren't river dependent, but yet it's still part of the greenway review. So
what does river dependent mean? Do you have to be fishing off the balcony to have it make sense, or is it I mean, can sitting on a deck and enjoying the view of the river?
We think that is allowable from the interpretations we've got from the Greenway group.
Yes.
Okay.
So the second 25 feet, not in the first 25 feet. So.
Right.
So, yes, we could have bigger patio. I'm just saying the reason why we're timid.
No, I know you're not just like, the reason why you're not out over the water is because you can't do that. But I guess, you know, a few more feet. I mean, what if we have to condition this, what would you ask for? Is there 8 by 12 now?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
10 by 12 would be great, because then you could get a 3-foot wide table and chairs if you could sit there comfortably. And that's just a couple of feet.
Right. No, that would be fine.
Okay.
No, we think it'd be greater to have them bigger. We were just worried about overdoing it, I guess.
Yeah.
And would you be amenable to a condition of rotating that stair and getting the retail straightened out?
The easier condition is the trees. The rotating the stair is harder. I definitely will do everything I can to do it, but just in case the structural engineer says no, then I'm coming back and trying to do something back as a type 2. So that.
How narrow is that retail gap?
21.
Goes from right now it's about 25 to 28 feet deep here and about 20 feet deep on that side. If it's a deal killer for you, I'll rotate that stair and force the structural engineer to figure it out.
Well, I mean, what do you guys think?
Well,
You bring up an interesting point, Commissioner Kaiser, because I think we've heard from the development community, in this case, really a developer, that there's not a lot of demand for retail in there. We've heard from the community that they wish that there was something down there, like a coffee shop or a sundry shop or something, so that you don't have to drive absolutely everywhere to get absolutely everything. And one sure way to make sure your questionable retail won't work is to make it really a questionable retail space to begin with, you know, in a questionable neighborhood for retail. So it would be better if the space was designed so that the tenant could be as successful as possible in that space.
And it seems like
yeah, and we're okay with it. We were spending all of our time with PBOT, frankly, trying to get the stacking to work and spending less time how the heck does it come down into the building, because that was our bottleneck.
And so if the stair gets rotated, just so I'm clear, then it cuts into that, is it the trash room?
No, this is actually it. This is a common room, room that opens up. So if we just rotate it the other direction, we could widen this throat on that side.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I think you can do it. And we're all structural engineers too, so. All right, so I'm hearing conditions flipping the stair. Rotating the stair 90 degrees.
For a continuous, 28-foot depth of that retail? Is that what the mm-hmm. widest point was?
I'd have to actually get back to you on that. But, you know, essentially what it's going to do is, if the condition says maximize the amount of retail with the ramp, because, I mean, the ramp might actually have to turn slightly. I just, you know, so I'd want to give us enough flexibility that we're not coming back to a type 2. So it's going to be move the ramp as far to the east as...
to make a rectangle. I think that the retail needs to be, you said 20, could be 25 feet, could be 28, you're not sure?
Yeah, right now it's exact from the property line to that throat, because I was just going over this with PBOT, is exactly 25 feet.
Okay, so.
So if you made that straight, that it would be 25 feet for mm-hmm. the predominance of the retail.
Okay.
Google land use experts.
Well, predominance means 51%.
I'm just trying to give ourselves some wiggle room, that's all.
I understand. Okay, well, I think if you rotate the stair, you're going to be able to do better anyway, so we can say the majority of the depth.
The only reason I'm worried about a dimension is if we say it's 25 feet and Stacy's checking the building permit plans and we're 24-6 and, you know, then we're doing a type 2 and,
Okay. Trees. Can my landscape architects talk a little bit about how you would condition?
Perhaps bringing the and maybe recommending a few species, specific species would be good.
I think your comments are well taken, and we can loosen it up quite a bit. And as Jane suggested, on the southern portion, which was recently added, have a smaller tree where it'll just allow more light in.
I thought the what Jane was suggesting was sort of keeping what you had here as sort of a boss, almost like a, so this becomes a gateway, and then actually changing this species mm-hmm.
yeah.
to something a little lighter.
I thought it was just apps. That, sure, that could work great.
Okay. Great. Well, I'm being told to make conditions here, so we need to, you know, subtract trees, change species, whatever we think.
Do reduce the scale and the amount of trees in the interior portion of the courtyard to allow more light.
She's shaking her head now.
Do you have any more specific species that we can throw in there that we could do, or that we could discuss and perhaps get into the condition?
I think we should go with a columnar tree. We could do, Jane, maybe a hornbeam or...
Are you thinking of changing the entire species?
these of the...
I mean, I like this.
Just these, no, just these here is what I yeah. understood.
Okay, so you're
one, two, three, four, five. So there's 10 yeah. trees right here.
We could go to like a Japanese maple in there.
Yeah, I was almost, I mean, I guess in my mind, and this might be totally not what you're thinking of design-wise, but that you'd have this really strong boss on the south end, and then maybe
looser.
Wouldn't be in rows, and maybe yeah. it's just like a patio type of tree that would have more of kind of a lighter canopy.
Let's do that. So we could say a tree under 20 feet.
Yeah, 20. I mean, I was thinking like Japanese maples.
That's just what I was going to say. Okay. Let's just go with Japanese maples.
Okay, give me a condition, please. I heard Japanese maple. Replace
so
interior court trees.
The inner trees in the courtyard won't be in alignment with the bosque, and they'll be more randomly placed.
More randomly.
And Japanese maples rather than columnar trees.
Okay. 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 And fewer.
And fewer.
Mm-hmm.
Organic pattern.
Okay, good. Yeah, randomly placed makes it sound like we're growing them out of the wrong places, but no. Okay. Well. So we addressed the stair. The trees, and then we're asking for a 10 by 12 landings terrace. Okay. Does anyone want to try to tease this one out? I've got rough notes here on what we're asking for. Okay, there we go. Well, this first one, you're going to have to do better with the middle one, the replacement terrace.
Okay. All right. I'm not ready. I can ask questions as I'm going. So I'd like to make a motion to support the staff report as written, including the modifications with the following additional conditions. And one is to gain more retail space by potentially flipping the stair, and so that the predominant area is 25 feet width.
Something like that.
As rectangular as possible. And then also making a condition that the terraces on the east side are enlarged to be 10 feet by 12 feet. And then with the last condition being that the interior courtyard trees that are in rows right now, the species has changed to be specimen Japanese maples placed in a more organic pattern. To allow more sunlight into the interior courtyard.
One question, would by saying preponderance of 25 feet, does that, again, I'm worried that that doesn't give us flexibility if we end up being a little shy of that.
If preponderance is synonym to majority, that means that at least 51% of the length of the retail space has to be 25 feet deep.
Can you say the majority?
Yeah, you're the one who reviews it, so it, because I'm,
you don't think you can do it?
I believe it is 25 feet from the door, but I don't know exactly the depth. I mean, I'd almost like it to be something more like flip the stair to allow the ramp to be as rectangular as possible and make the retail space more rectangular instead of actually giving a dimension, because I'm trying to remember dimensions off the top of my head as well, so.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion to support the staff report as written, including the adjustments and modifications requested, and additionally including the following conditions. One, to flip the stair at the ramp to make the ramp as rectilinear as possible, as well as the adjacent retail space. And then on the east side, to make the terraces 10 feet by 12 feet in dimension. And in the courtyard, to remove the columnar trees in the center of the courtyard and replace them with a specimen Japanese maple species placed in a more organic pattern to allow more sunlight into the middle of the courtyard.
Second.
Okay, great. Any other further discussion or motion on the table? Okay, in that case, Paige, call and roll, please. Welcome back.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Good luck with your project.
Thank you, and thanks for all your years of service, Jane. You're going to be missed.